The Mishnah in Pesachim tells us, Matchilim begnut, matchil begnut, umusayim b'shevach. We begin the Seder night, the Haggadah, with gnut, with that which is negative, umusayim b'shevach, and we conclude with that which is positive. Machloket between Rav and Shmuel, well, what is the gnut, what is the negative that we begin with? One opinion is we begin with Avadim Hayinu L'Paro B'Mitzrayim. We were slaves in Egypt. The gnut, the negativity, is the fact that we were enslaved. The second opinion, that of Shmuel, that we begin with Mitchila Ovde Varzara Yuavoseinu. Rather, this is Rav's opinion of Mitchila Ovde Varzara. And we find this in Source 1. Originally, our ancestors were idols. But now the Omnipresent has brought us near to His service. V'achshav kervanu makom l'avadasa. As it's written, and we have psukim from Yeshua to describe how Terach, the father of Avram and Nahor, how they served other gods, and how Hashem took Avraham, Me'ever l'Nahar, and then we have Yitzchak, and Yitzchak had Yaakov and Esav, and Yaakov got Esav got Mount Seir to inherit, and Yaakov and his children went down to Mitzrayim. We have two questions on this Piska. Whether we hold like Rav or Shmuel, whether it's Avadim Hayinu or Metchilo of Avodah Zarah, the first question is, why do we begin with Gnos? Why is it necessary to begin with negativity? And particularly, why are we beginning about, you know, Terach and Nahor and these of Avodah Zarah? What interest does it have to us the night of the Seder? Let's focus in on the positive. Why begin? And particularly, we don't tell about Tshuva of where he came from. And here we are publicly declaring our forefathers, right? Originally, their ancestors were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Why is that with what we begin in such a public way? And second, V'achshav kervanu makom l'avodaso, and now Hashem has brought us. What is the now? What is that referring to? Make more sense, and then later, Hashem brought us closer to Him. What is the word V'achshav, and now? What time does it refer to? Those are our first two questions for this year. The second question, which we'll only get to Mirtz Hashem at the end, is to try to understand a little bit, to touch on the halacha of Mayim Shelanu. Mayim Shelanu is not water that is ours, but water that has stood overnight. We have Rabbi Eliel Kito brings down in Source 4 the water used for making the dough from which the matzahs are baked, both for the regular matzah and for matzah shmurah, must have stood overnight after being drawn from a river or well. This water must be stored in a receptacle which is not connected to the source of water and must be left there for at least 12 hours. And we need to understand, technically I understand why it was there, the water's perfect temperature, etc. But why is it, conceptually, what do we learn from the fact that the waters from our matzah are waters that have been stored, that have literally slept overnight? Those are the two issues I want to touch on in Mirtz Hashem today. I'd like to take a look at a survey view of a number of answers. Obviously, there are many. Of what is this section, Metchilo of Avodah Zarah? Originally, our ancestors were idol worshippers. Why is it here? What does it come to teach us? What lessons do we learn? And then, on the fourth level, we'll try to, albeit all three levels are very relevant for our lives, we'll try to be able to bring this home into, a very practical, hands-on approach to Lel HaSeder. Approach number one, the Matnat Chaim, from Matthew Solomon Shlita, points out if you take a look at the night of the Seder, you find a very interesting dialectic. You find both the theme of Avdus, the theme of slavery, connected with the theme of Chayrus, of freedom, in the very items themselves. So, for example, the end of five Karpas, why do we dip this vegetable? It's a sign of royalty, hors d'oeuvres before you eat. Yet the karpas represents the samech perach, the 600,000 who worked hard. The tears are the salt water, so they have very much the theme of subjugation. Take a look at the wine, the end of six. The wine represents royalty, represents freedom, malchus. And yet, our rabbis tell us we should try to find red wine, to remind us of the blood that Paro immersed himself in when he had sarat, when he had leprosy. Once again, the theme of Avdos Sukhim of Cheros, freedom and subjugation within the same object. Matzah, for sure, in Source 7. Halach ma'anya diachlo vasan of our Demitrayim. This is the bread of affliction. Matzah is what the Jews ate as slaves. And yet the matzah is the symbol of freedom. We didn't have time for our bread to rise as we ran after Hashem when we were free. The very same symbol is used for both. What do we make of this? So it says in Source 8, ובזה יתבאר מה שמרו במשנה פסוחי מתחיל בגנות מסיים בשבח. דעתחלה בגנות תכליתהי. This is similar to the idea we've spoken about. You begin with a negative. Why? Because the purpose of beginning with a negative, the purpose of focusing on the negative this evening, תכליתהי להגדיל השבח, to be able to increase the praise to Hashem. שגודל השבח היא לפי הצער, to the extent of the pain that we feel, that is, to that extent, the appreciation and the joy and the gratefulness we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now I understand why on this night of Gulatenu V'Chevrutenu, of our freedom, we also remember the things that were connected to the Tzaros Gedolos, to the tremendous agony and pain that we were in. Because it's by remembering the pain and remembering the challenges we were in enables us lahodos ulahalo to be able to thank Hashem agulatenu petut nafshenu. It's what we call the contrast. When I saw and I feel what we went through, I look at the charoset and I think about the bricks and I think about the karpas and the salt waters, etc. When I feel this, and then I say, wow, tonight I'm free, I'm a Ben Chorim, I'm like a Melech, I'm like a king. My appreciation is so much greater. Likewise, Matchilim Biknos, when I speak about whether it's the physical slavery, or Matchilov Devon Zara, when I think about where I came from, and I look at where I am now, it is filled with so much joy. Just to add one more Nakuda on this level, The Rosh Yeshiva Haggadah points out, Rav Moshe Feinstein saw in this arrangement an important lesson in human psychology. Sometimes a person decides to undergo an important change to better his quality of life, to turn over a new leaf in his attitudes, personal habits, etc. Often a person in such a situation will cut himself off from his past completely, considering himself reborn in a spiritual sense, totally erasing from his consciousness any relation with his previous life. This approach is incorrect, Rav Moshe said, and may even do more harm than good. The path to personal improvement is a long and difficult one, fraught with setbacks, occasional relapses, and the like. As we read in Mishlei, Shevi Pol Tzadik V'Kam. And he notes, if a person does not recall his previous poor state, he is likely, during one of these occasional setbacks, to find himself with nothing at all to grasp at. If, however, he constantly keeps his past in mind, degrading as it may be, he can reflect upon the progress that he has made in comparison to what he once was, and this supply with sufficient patience to survive his temporary setback and be able to reinvigorate him with new enthusiasm. This is why we begin Matchilim Biknot, that we have to be able to reflect on what once was, and we see that things could be much worse, and to be able to appreciate where we are now. So idea number one is, instead of just erasing the past and saying, I just want to forget about it, it was so terrible, who wants to remember it? Look at the past and be able to look at where I am now, and be filled with gratitude. Wow, so much has changed. There's been so much growth. There's been so much movement. So that even when we have setbacks, we can still appreciate how far we've come and where we were. Mitzchilo, when I look at what our forefathers originally were, our ancestors really, what they originally were, and now I look at where I am today, I say, wow, hodu l'Hashem ki tov, and I'm able to appreciate it. And that's what the Seder night is about, to have both themes at the night of the Seder, to be able to really come to appreciate, not just theoretically, but from a very real place of feeling and knowing about what we are thanking Hashem from being redeemed from. The second idea, which is similar to the first, is based on the Talei Chaim, the Chalban, who says, and this is a very, very, very beautiful idea, he says, Reshit kol ha'ivatzrut shel Yisrael dafka mitoch ha'choshech. The fact that Klal Yisrael are formed specifically from darkness, whether the physical darkness of slavery or the spiritual darkness of the ancestors who were idolaters, mi'idal kol cham la'foch et ha'choshech la'or, shows the indomitable spirit of the Jewish people that we have the ability to turn situations from darkness to light. As we say in the Haggadah, Ma'afela, Lord Gadol. Yitzira zu ba'a b'kavanat tchila kedei litzur zika l'chol marchavei havaya. This is setting the foundation to all of our being to understand the yesod v'shorash ha'itchachos, to understand that what Jewish people are about is our ability to be able to withstand even the most dire circumstances, the greatest darkness, and be able to bring from it and to move from it to a place of great light. Hashem creates the world, Vahi Erev, Vahi Boker, and it was night and it was day. Life is often that dynamics of darkness and challenges, and on its heels comes the light and the salvation. This is the theme of the Jewish people. The night of the Seder is not just a technical night to talk about the story of Egypt. It's a night to give over to our children what the Jewish people are about. It's a night of Jewish history. It's a night of Jewish pride. And this is one of those important messages that both on a communal as well as an individual level, that when we find ourselves in periods of darkness, we can't stop the clock right there, Vayhi Erev. We have to go to Vayhi Boker and to realize that the Erev, the darkness, is a backdrop to then be able to see and appreciate and come forward into a period of light. But lest we think, continuing in 12, that it is in our capability to do this on our own, we are mistaken. Lo hayinu yucholim l'latzeit mimasrei achoshech. We couldn't be able to extricate ourselves from the darkness alone. And the impurity of the idolatry by ourselves. But rather we have to understand the next part of this piskah. It's the kervanu ha-makom lavadaso. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu who enables us to do this. That's the Omek HaPnimi. That's the depth that we have to understand here. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mehaveh et Shifat HaKodesh B'chol Yom V'Yom. Hashem, as we spoke about last week in Parashat HaChodesh, creates this energy of newness at all times. And this is what enables us to be able not to live a life of static and frozenness, but to be able to move on, to be able to push forward. And as the Gvuras Avraham, which is the footnotes of the Gran in the Haggadah, points out, that what does this mean, V'achshav kervanu makom lavadaso? Although from Hashem's perspective, He took us out Himself, without our active involvement at all, from our own perspective, our coming close to Hashem, result of the exercise of our own free will. Still, we recognize and acknowledge that Hashem has brought us close, has created circumstances which aided us to make the right choices. And that's what we in our lives have to understand. What does it mean? V'achshav kervanu makom lavadaso. V'achshav means right now. It means that every moment that we try to be able to move forward in life, we have the help of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We have the resources that Hashem gives us, whether it's teachers, it's mentors, it's shiurim, it's life experiences. These are all different resources that we have that we need to tap into, that are gifts from above. Of kervanu ha-makom lavadaso, things that inspire us, things that hold us together in challenging times, enabling us not to give up hope, enabling us to be able to continue moving forward. Idea number one, it's a night of contrast. It's a night of appreciation. It's a night of lahalo lahodos. Idea number two is that the whole idea of the Jewish nation is really founded on this piska of mitchilo devarzor yuvaseinu v'achshav kivanu makom lavadaso. That's Jewish history. Darkness to light. Mafelelo or Gadol, both on the collective and on the individual level. And this is what the Night of the Seder is about. That wherever we are, wherever we're celebrating Seder, whatever life situations we're in, we can never give up hope. Hashem is always with us, and Hashem is enabling us and giving us the ability and the inspiration to be able to carry on, to be able to continue. Now, having said this, we can now look at the third idea in our survey and ask a very obvious question. A very famous question that Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein brings down in his Haggadah, Darkness to Destiny, where he says, why are we making such a big deal of thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for taking us out of Egypt? Was it not him who put us here in the first place? So, like, do me a favor. Don't put me here, and then I don't have to thank you. Like, it's Hashem who put us through 400 years or 200 years of very hard slavery. And now that he took us out, thank you very much for taking us out. It's like a person who breaks a person's leg and then fixes it. And it was a doctor who broke the person's leg and the doctor fixed it. Do me a favor, don't break my leg and I don't have to go through the pain of having it fixed. So Rabbi Bernstein notes that there's another imagery here. And that imagery is when the doctor breaks a rib in order to have access to vital organs that are in dire need of treatment. This changes the picture dramatically. Set against this much greater problem, the breaking of the rib is no longer looked upon as a problem. In fact, it is now looked upon as the beginning of the cure. In order to fully appreciate the meaning behind the slavery in and exodus from Egypt, it is important to realize that the Jewish people had a problem that threatened their very existence, namely, that originally our fathers were idol worshippers. The fact that our ancestral roots lay in idol worship meant that as a people we stood little chance of standing firm against the pagan culture in which all of our neighbors were steeped. And this is why Hashem had to put us into Egypt. The Jewish people were formed not only by the exodus from Egypt, but also by the oppression experienced while they were there. We know that Egypt is referred to as the Kor HaBarzel, the smelting furnace through extreme conditions. A furnace refines metal and rids it of foreign mixtures. Forging Jewish identity meant ridding of it of any affinity with the prevalent cultures with which it shared a common ancestry. The persecution and degradation of our people by the Egyptians, who were the most powerful and successful culture of the time, led to a fundamental disillusionment on the part of the Jewish people as to what constituted ultimate success. And that is why we were able, through the experience of Egypt, through watching all that transpired, to be able to become Hashem's people. And this is why we refer to our idol-worshipping roots as part of our discussion on Seder night. For that is a full context in which the entire Egypt experience needs to be placed. Set against this broader problem that began long before we went down to Egypt, the entire Egyptian experience, including the difficult times, constituted the solution. And this is what it means. V'akshav kirvano makom lavadato, says Rav Bernstein, the Akalekato brings down as well. You know when the Vachshav is? The Vachshav is the moment he brought us down to Egypt. When we were able to recognize that there's no one to rely on but Hashem. It was the experience not only of the Exodus, but of the pain itself, the challenges themselves, that enabled us to reach where we were. My friends, this third answer has such a profound impact on such a personal level for all of our lives. So often we say in life, you know, Hashem, don't give me any problems and I don't need any solutions. Wrong. I mean, I understand where that's coming from. But we have to understand that part of the solution is the problem itself. The challenges themselves are what enable a person to become who they are. We know the idea that Nes comes from the idea of miracle, the Sion, test. Nes, banner, same word is used for many different concepts. And Nes is also the sail on a sailboat. One knows that if you want to go sailing, and the day is a perfectly placid day where there is no wind, you're not going to go too far, my friends. It's a windy day when the sail is able to move that, I don't know if people go sailing today, I don't know if they have patience for it, but that's beside the point. Then you know the sail moves, the boat moves. The sail, the nace, are the nusionos of our lives. The challenges of our lives move us from the place of frozenness, the place of not developing oneself, to places where one would never imagine where they could be able to reach. The nusion is what propels us to be able to develop ourselves in ways that are unimaginable. And that is why, as Rav Gedalia Shor brings down from the Sfas Emes in 18, that we have the order of Pesach, Matzah, and Maror, which is out of chronological order. Why is it the Maror last? Why do we eat the Maror last? Because Maror has to be seen within the context of Pesach and Matzah. Challenges can't be seen by, again, putting the psik, Vayerev stop. It's Vayer, Vayiboker. Now that there's Boker, I can appreciate the Erev. Now that I've seen the Pesach and the Matzah, I can be able to appreciate the Maror. I understand that the Maror itself is part of the process of healing, part of the process of growth. This is helped perhaps explain the Minhag Yisrael that Rav Shor brings down, that when one says, by Rabbi Gamliel, Haya Omer, Koshlo Marshloshet Rav Elu, Pesach, Pesach, Matzah, Maror, Lo Yatzah, Yidei Chovasa, and we point to the Matzah and the Maror, brings down the Minhag Yisrael to pick up the Maror and to kiss it. And it's a very powerful minhag, because what one's saying is, Hashem, this maror, this bitterness, is something that I'm able to kiss tonight. Because I'm seeing it from the perspective of, I'm seeing it in the entire picture. I'm seeing that there were parts of us that needed to be rectified, and this is why Hashem had to bring us down to Egypt. Barzel, we know, is Rosh Teva. One understanding of Bila, Rachel, Zilpah, and Leah, all the daughters of Lavan, some from the maidservant, some from his wives, but they were all sisters and half-sisters to each other. That we had to get rid of the Lavan in us, that trickery, that deceit, all of this that was part of our genetic DNA had to be taken away from us. Understand the larger picture. So often in life, you know, we read a book that's maybe 1,000 pages, and I start on page 600, and I stop on page 700. And I say, oh my gosh, this book makes no sense at all. This person did this, and that person did that. Can you imagine that? What happened to this person? It's so not fair. You're right. When you read 100 pages, it makes no sense. Start on page 1, end on page 1,000, start in Bria Sa'olam, end at Tria Sa'meitim, and then a lot more will make sense. Mitrilo of Devarasara helps us understand why we needed to go down to Egypt. It helps us understand the purification process. So now that I have been redeemed, I understand that it's not only the redemption I am celebrating tonight, it's the process that enabled me to be redeemed, and that was the experience of slavery itself, which helps us understand what we began with, why we have so many symbols of slavery tonight. Are we not celebrating freedom? And the answer is, we're celebrating the experience. And the experience entails both the challenges, the karpas, the red wine, the matzah, the lachamoni, as well as the karpas as the hors d'oeuvres, the yayin as malchus, as royalty, and the matzah of freedom. Both is what we are celebrating tonight. With this, we can understand the Drash David of David Hofstadter brings the Abarbanel's understanding of the question. Shebechol ha'leilo semanishtana, and all other nights we eat chametz and matzah, and tonight we only eat matzah. So you look at this question and you ask yourself, generally for dinner, do you serve chametz and matzah? I understand it means I have the potential to eat whatever I feel like. But it explains Abarbanel much deeper. He says, when I would bring a korban todah, a Thanksgiving offering, so we know a Thanksgiving offering had lachmei todah, had loaves of bread, and it had matzah. So on all other nights, add in when I would bring a korban todah, a Thanksgiving offering, I would eat it both chametz and matzah. Tonight, I'm only eating matzah. It doesn't make sense. It's a Thanksgiving korban. I'm thanking Hashem. Right? This is our Jewish Thanksgiving lavdil. So, ask the Chasam Sofer. So, where's the answer to this question of the Rabbi now? And he says, Mitchilov de Avadasara is the answer to the question. Because if I was only thanking Hashem for taking us out, then you're right. Korban Pesach would be like a Korban Tota. We are the bread. But tonight is not about a Korban Tota. The Korban Pesach tonight is not just thanking Hashem for taking us out. It's a whole different dynamic. Elagam, the squiggling 22, Al Etzem HaGolos Vayiridah Mitzrayim. It's a night thanking Hashem and appreciating going down into slavery, going down into Golos. Shal Yadam Nitarnu Vidit Kadashnu L'Avodas HaBarei Yisparach, because through this experience, we purified ourselves to be able to come closer to Hashem. And that's why it's closer to a Korban Miluim. It's a korban, let's say, when a kohen turns to a kohen gadol, and he now is on a higher level. Then he only brings a korban with matzah, and not a korban with matzah and with bread. And that's what tonight is about. It's a night that I can appreciate. It's not just saying thank you tonight. It's a night of appreciating Jewish survival. And this is a big and part of what I'm telling my children is that Jewish survival is not just thanking Hashem for taking us out of, and one could list all the countries, but thank you for putting us in those situations. This is very difficult and very painful. I'm aware, my friends, because the experience of going in enables us to become so stronger when we come out. And that is why he explains, V'achshav kirvanu makom l'avraso, V'achshav, and now is a reference to each and every time Hashem puts us into a different exile. Ki kol ha-goliot in 24, no'adu l'tachlit zu. All of our exiles have the same goal. Shel hachanas am Yisrael l'avodas Hashem Yisbarach, to prepare us to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is what we need to understand. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised us that the snap, I will be with you in this Golos, and I will be with you in future Golios. Just as this Golos is an experience, the Golos itself, the exile itself, to come closer to Hashem, likewise in all future exiles, it too will be an experience of coming closer to Hashem. So my friends, what we've seen till now, the first idea on our survey is contrast. Contrast to be able to bring us to a level of Hakaras HaTovah, thank you. Second level, the darkness precedes the light. And we have to realize that it's the darkness itself that enables me to then move forward into a place of light. And Jewish history is very much Vayehi Erev, Vayehi Boker. I look at my darkness, and from there I'm able to move toward the light. And Hashem is the one who enables me to do this each and every time. The third idea is that this is what Jewish history is about. We're not only thanking Hashem for taking us out tonight, we're thanking Hashem for the struggles as well. Why would we thank Hashem for the struggles? Because the struggles enable us to become greater people. And the Tchilo of the Avodah Zarah gives us an insight into what we needed to go through, what we needed to purge in order to become this higher and greater people. And all of these, my friends, are very much relevant, both on the communal as well as the personal level. And that's what the Night of Seder is about. The Night of Seder is about a very personal, that we have to see ourselves as if we left Egypt, not only a country of years ago, but see ourselves leaving our own confines and our own lives. And this enables us and helps us and gives us a stepping stone to be able to accomplish this. The fourth, and this fourth level is really where I want to spend, Mirtz Hashem, most of our time. It's based on the Gra. The Gra points out, the English is in 29, the Hebrew in 26, the Sefer Kimotzei Shel HaRav quote. The Gra points out that there are two types of shi'ubudim, two types of being enslaved. We were enslaved, shibud ha-nefesh, spiritually, the shibud ha-guf, physically. V'imkei mitchilo of Avodah Zarah, Yuvoseinu is a matcha b'gnud shagulas ha-nefesh. When we speak about how we were originally, our ancestors were idol worshippers, this is the gnud of the spiritual aspect. And Avodim Hayinu is the gnud of the physical aspect. Now, Why is this significant that there are two aspects? So Rabbi Twersky in that beautiful Haggadah from bondage to freedom notes in 28 that we could go through the entire Seder and fall into a very likely trap. And that is, we can sit down at the Seder table and tell our children about our experience of how we left Egypt. You know, there were 10 plagues, and we left Beyad Ramah with a heavy hand, and we crossed over the sea, and Dayenu, and we sing Dayenu, and we say Pesach Matzah Marah, and we eat the Pesach, and I mean, the Matzah and the Marah, and we live happily ever after. But we fail to speak about the spiritual implications of the night. That we can't just focus in on the fact that we were physically saved. Very much of a theme on the Seder night is the ability to become Kabbalah Sol Malchut Shamayim, to be able to become greater Avdei Hashem. Right? The Nishmas Kol Chai, that's the goal of the Seder night. So part and parcel of what the Seder is about is Metchilo Avdei Avodah Zarah. Let's focus on the fact that our ancestors were idol worshippers. And Ve'achshav Kirvanu Makom Lo V'Nasot. And the night of the Seder is a night about moving from the level of idolatry to the level of closeness to Hashem. It wasn't only about them going through that transformation then, but it's about our spiritual freedom each and every year of our own lives. And Rabbi Twersky points out so beautifully in 30 and 31, he says, what is idolatry all about? Metchilo Avdei Avodah Zarah Yovaseinu. Now, we know that in those days, and you can go to museums and you could see this, they worshipped, you know, stone and trees and various objects. So you may ask yourself, you know, I believe in some places, I don't know whether it's in India, like I heard that you have to get into a car, you know, in an awkward type of way because they hang up these idolatrous imageries in the taxis. So that when you go in like this, you're bowing down to these imageries. Like, you have to think along these lines. So he says, I don't know, we'll leave the India away. He says, is this really true that they really believe that this, you know, peso, this statue is created the world or brings down rain or whatever? So the Gemara tells us, and it's a very fascinating Gemara. The Gemara says, in the middle of 30, he says, the Israelites knew that these images were of no substance, but they used them in order to achieve positive sanction for otherwise forbidden relationships. The Gemara in Sanhedrin 63b. Various temptations to which humans are subject are forbidden by edicts of the Torah, while others are prescribed by one's own conscience. A person who wishes to indulge his desires, yet appease his conscience and be free of guilt for being in violation of any moral principles, may reach a rather simple solution. Establish an authority that will set moral standards, that will satisfy one's whim, and will pronounce edicts that will permit one to behave in whatever way one wishes. In order for this authority to have the right to dictate moral and ethical standards, it must be imbued with those properties that qualify it for this function. And what better qualification can there be when you call it a god? And this is the difference. According to Torah, God created man and dictates how man should have behaved. In idolatry, man creates his own gods and dictates to them to tell him what he wishes to hear. My friends, to a very certain degree, we may not worship idols today. We may not have these stones that we bow down to. But you know what, my friends? We all have in our lives different philosophies, different mindsets, different desires, different temptations that we legitimize, or we rationalize, or we create a whole mindset around that says, you know what, it's mutter to do this, we're permitted to do this. And to a certain degree, albeit one may not call it a avodah zarah, but it is sanctioning things that are not permitted in order to appease our conscience. And we have to be aware of this, and we have to be sensitive to what avodah zarah type things we have in our lives. You know, let me share with you, and I don't mean in this story to be implicating any one group or idea, just presenting a story in terms of how We can justify whatever we want by calling it whatever you want to call it. And a lot of the Sfarim speak about this, that the isms, the socialism, the communism, all of these isms, Zionism, all of these isms were very much the ability to create whatever you wanted and then just give it a banner. And again, this is without any comments, just telling a story. Rabbi Spiro has a new sefer out, new English book, Touched by Sensitivity. I'm making it up. It's a great new book. I just got it tonight. But the stories I read in it were outstanding. Here's one of the stories. There's like an Arachim seminar that a person was trying to bring people back to Yiddishkeit. So one of the Rabbanim was having a model Seder that people should know how to run their Seders. And he was doing this all around Israel. And one place he was doing it was up north. So there was this woman, whose name was Ronit, who said, would he mind if she videotapes this model Seder? It wasn't on Yom Tov, yeah. And she would be able to rehearse it over and over again so she'd have it down pat at her family Seder. And the rabbi, of course, agreed. And she went out and bought new pots and dishes and, you know, the whole works, and asked questions every step of the way, and bought, CDs with the songs on it so that the kids would be able to know some of the tunes for Seder night. Everything is ready for this grand event. Comes Seder night, and the whole family's there, and everything looks absolutely stunning. And her father joins her, Saba, who was a irreligious kibbutznik, who was, you know, a man of very few words, who obviously felt very uncomfortable being there, but the whole family was invited, and he was going to join as well. And he didn't say a word during all the preparations. The entire time he was quiet. When they got up to the four sons, right, Chacham, the wise son, Rasha, the wicked son, he suddenly opened his mouth and said, "That son, the Rasha, that's me." Everyone was very quiet, and they said, he said, "Let me tell you the story." And he told the story of how, when he was a very little boy, he came from a Hasidic background with a payas and the whole works. And as he grew up, he had a group of friends that were not very good influence on him. And slowly and surely started rebelling without his parents really being aware of this. And he described how on the one Seder night, when came time for Manishtana, his father turned to him and said, "Okay, ask the Manishtana." And he asked the question of the Rasha in a very, you know, defiant way. "Ma avodah asot lachem? Who needs all this stuff? Why are we doing all this antiquated things?" And he stormed out. And his parents were obviously devastated beyond words. And when they were able to recollect themselves, the father turned to his sister and asked her to say the Manishtana. He went off to his room. And when it came to the Rasha, the father spoke loud enough that the child could hear and said, "Some people are imprisoned in their own hearts, in their own souls, and that we need to pray for them, and that we need to be able to be compassionate on them, that one day they'll come back and see the light and be able to move out of the constraints that are created within them." And when he heard this, he was like, "I'm not some pity case that people have to pray for." He stormed out of the house and spent the night with his friends who were waiting for him. When he came back that next morning, his parents were waiting for him, and his father, who clearly was in tears and very, very upset and devastated, turned to his son and said, "I want you to know, there has been a torch that has been handed down from generation to generation, and I am not about to break that torch. And I want you to be able to pass this torch on. And I know one day you will pass this torch on. It may be in my lifetime, it may be after my lifetime, but one day that torch will continue." And he says, "I completely ignored my father, and I said, you know, torch, no torch, that was of the past." And he joined a Zionist group, a group of freedom. He shaved off his payas and, you know, put on, you know, what he called normal clothes, and made Aliyah to Israel. His whole family was wiped out during the war. He joined a non-religious kibbutz, and he felt free. And they used to have Pesach Seder of beer and pretzels and bread. That's how they celebrated Pesach. You know, that defiant, who needs religion? And he says, I want you to know, he was an old man at this point, he says, I want you to know that for years I felt that I was right and I was victorious and I had defeated my father. But you know what? Over time, I realized that I was disillusioned. And this world that I thought was going to solve all my problems and give me freedom has given me nothing but sorrow and despair. One of my daughters, he said, I've been blessed with only daughters, so I didn't have the problem of giving circumcision, married a non-Jew. One doesn't want to get married. And he turned to this daughter, he said, you are the only one who decided to get married and raise a family. And he says, I see that you are the one who has continued this torch of my father. And she turned to him and said, I don't want this torch from your father. I want this torch from you. And sure enough, within the year, the entire family became closer to Yiddishkeit. That the following year, that grandfather was sitting with a kippah on his head, and he was giving over the Seder to his child and to his grandchildren. That torch was continued. My friends, that's the night of the Seder. The night of the Seder is to realize that sometimes it's a lifetime process, and sometimes it's much shorter, where we say, you know what, who needs? And it could be as dramatic as this story or less dramatic. And life is about being able to come back to the light, come back to the torch, come back to where we need to be. And this is what the night of the Seder is about, 31, Mipis Sfarim V'Sofrim. When we come to the Seder night, and we are Malei Avonos U'Pshaim, and we can be filled with sins and all difficulties, Yacholu L'Sayim B'Shevach, tonight is a night of transformation. Tonight is a night where we can wipe away our sins. Tonight is a night where we can start anew. Rabbi Spiro 33, touched by our story, when the Agada uses the word V'Achshav, and now, this one word says it all, Hashem in His kindness and benevolence does not look at our past. He looks only at the way we are now. This means that even though the Jewish people worshipped idols in the past, that's all but a race. V'achshav, we can't be bogged down with guilt and insecurity and our inadequacies. Yes, we've made mistakes, but we have to look at now. As Rabbi Biederman points out, you can read it, Mitzila, at the beginning, if you just focus at what was past, that's of the Avodah Zarah. Right? The Netziv Melech, the pillar of salt, of ancient load of looking back. He gives the example of driving a car. If you only look through your rear view mirror, you're going to crash. Yes, at times you have to look at the past, but you got to move forward. Rabosai, you want to know what Leil HaSeder is about? It's about this one phrase. V'achshav kervanu makom levadoso. And now Hashem has brought us closer. When is the now? The now isn't when we went down to Egypt. The now isn't when we left Egypt. The now is not, it is, but it's not only in every galus. V'achshav is the very moment we're sitting at the Seder table. At this moment, we have the ability, v'achshav kervanu makom levadoso. We have the ability to come closer to Hashem. And that's the question where each and every one of us has to ask ourselves. In what way are we bringing ourselves out of Egypt? In what way are we coming closer to Hashem? Not tomorrow, not next week, but v'achshav, right now, with the inspiration of in the air of the diluk, of the Pesach, of the jumping over, the leaping in our own lives. What does this mean? How do we do this? So obviously there are many approaches. I'd like to share two ideas on this in the time that we have remaining. Rav Eliyahu Roth Sichas Eliyahu. He speaks in 36 about Mitzrayim coming, being a composite of two words that are opposite. Mitzar means narrowness, means confines, means constraint. Yam is boundless, right? You go to the sea, it just goes forever, right? We have the idea of mini yam. It's just endless. It's boundless. How can you have something constrained that's boundless? It's an opposite. So he speaks about in 37 and 38 that when Hashem created Adam HaRishon, he went from one end of the world to the other. He was limitless. And obviously after he sinned, Hashem, you know, put him down a bit. But he still an incredible amount of potential that we each and every one of us have. And that's the greatness of each individual, that we have boundless potential, and that we can move in so many different areas of our lives. You want to know what avda slavery is? 38, lakachet et haben acharin hazeh, to take this free person, et hashalit hazeh, the one who's the ruler, et hakol shata techa raglai, that everything's in front of his feet, and make him an eved. L'tzamtzem oto v'laktin et tzurat adam shelo, to diminish himself. That's mitzar yam. That's what an eved is about. In Maharalian language, you take an eved, he has no tzura, he has no ability to create form. He is a mekabel, he is chomer, he is pure matter that is formed for him. He is led and he does not lead. You know what Golos Mitzrayim is? You know what it means to be subjugated in Egypt? It means that that boundless potential that we have has been diminished. It means that all the creative spirit we have has been contained into a very small space. That is Avdus. That's why the promise to Avraham Avinu that we would be slaves in Egypt is different than Inui, affliction. Slavery itself is a horrible place to be in. Why do we remember that we left Egypt twice a day, 40? It reminds us, you've left Egypt because now you should not be led by things around you. You are lo adam shachomer, you're not acted upon. And neni mechapes adonim, you shouldn't be looking for master. You should be able to take the potential that you have, that you are free, and be able to use it. It's not just technically remembering you left Egypt in the Shema morning and night. It's remembering the message of leaving Egypt. The message of leaving Egypt is now, go out, control, not in a negative way, create, do, fulfill your potential, you're limitless. It's interesting in 41, Yechezkel describes Mitzrayim as asher basar chamarim saram. Their flesh is like the flesh of donkeys. Donkey doesn't really have a mind of its own. You put things on a donkey, it carries things. Chamor is from the word chomriyot, from the word chomer. It is acted upon. That was Mitzrayim. We were in a place that was acted upon. Mahim, it's interesting, water is the quintessential model of something that's chomer, because it has no tzura, it has no form. Moshe, the pasuk says, ki min ha-mayim ishitiyu, he's drawn from the water, not min ha-ya'or, from the Nile, because he is total tzura. He is taken from the water. He is not the water. We take the mayim shelanu, my friends, we take this water which has no form, and we make it into a form. We make it into a matzah. That's what the night of Pesach is about. We take ourselves and we make something of ourselves. Rabosai, you know what this means in simple English? Avram Shor, in Lekach V'Alibuv Haggadah in 43 notes, that when you're chayev adam lorot et atzmo ki lehu yatzam Mitzrayim, you have to see yourself as if you left Egypt. First, you have to realize you are in Egypt. Rabosai, we are so drawn. You know, you heard the expression, you go with the flow. That's water. We are so drawn and affected and by the fashion industry, by the technology industry, by our social peers. Is it any wonder that we, to a certain extent in our lives, feel like I don't have a say? It's not a question of whether I'm going to get this or not. Everyone has this. Everyone wears this. Everyone's doing this. Rabosai, that mentality, that language of speech is Mitzrayim. It's the aspect of taking that yam and constraining it. Of saying, well, everyone, where are you? Where is your tzura? Where is your sense of self? Leaving Egypt tonight is about being able to pinpoint where are the things in my life, if not so many, one, where I'm doing it, even though I know it's not so correct to do. As Rav Chaska Lovenstein says so beautifully in 44, you know, Mitzilo of Devar Zora, at least they worship something. We only worship physicality and comfort. Like, we don't even think about godliness anymore in our lives. See, where's something in my life that I rationalize? If everyone does, so it can't be so bad. And pinpoint that. And tonight, make a commitment. I can be a tsura and not a homer. I can make a statement. If everyone does, doesn't mean I have to do. I've left Egypt. And at this moment, I've come closer to Hashem. Vasilis Movavam of Eisenberger 45 says Gevaldik. When the water was originally created, the upper waters were close to God. The lower waters cried. We spoke about this many months ago. Lower waters said, I give out. I'm so far away from Hashem. Write the Medrash. I'll give you korbanos, nisu chamayim, melach on every korban. Good. But you know what happened to this water? Yeah, it felt bad being away from Hashem. But l'shetef mayim rabim, after a while the water says, you know what, it's not so bad down here. You know, I have plants grow, and I nourish a lot of people. So, okay, I'm far away from Hashem. I don't really feel it so much. What do we do with this water? Rabosai, listen closely. I take this water and I move it away from its friends. I move it away from the source, away from the river, away from where it came from, and I allow it to sit overnight. Pasuk in Yeshaya, Nafshi ibisicha ba'layla, the asterisk in 45. My soul yearns for you at night. When the water is separated from its friends, it's suddenly able to say, you know what? I've busied myself so much with doing so many good things that I forgot how much I yearn to be close to you, Hashem. That I can be involved in so many good things that I forget that these good things are about coming closer to Hashem. I forget that the chesed and the Torah and the tefillah and all that I'm busy doing of Yiddishkeit is in order to bring me to Vanikiras Elokim Litov. And for me, closest to Hashem is good. You can get lost with the trees in the forest. The Mayim Shelanu, the water that stays overnight, is a water of reflection. It's water that's able to appreciate how far it's gone. And then when you take that water and you put it into the matzah, when one eats that matzah and the matzah, and 48 is called in the Zohar HaKadosh, the matzah of refuah, at that moment, that water in that matzah, when I ingest it, has the ability to awaken within me, and has the ability to be misorer within me, rikshe yisorerus, feelings of passion, of desire, of kmiha, of yearning. Ana ba'ina l'mahave kodamalka, I too want to come close to you, Hashem. You know, I busy myself all along thinking that, you know, I'm really doing this for you, Hashem. But you know what? It was for me very much, and I forgot it about you. And I pay lip service, but that real relationship is so far. And after I eat the matzah, I eat the maror. And the maror is able to awaken within me the chisaron, the blemish I have in my shlemos. And I jump from my seat, mirov hidrakshos, hargashara mariros, v'agmas nafsho, mimatzov aroch, ani arayarud. And when I eat the maror, I jump up, not just from the sharpness of the maror, from the sharpness of the pain within myself, that I realize that I can go much farther. Of course I'm doing, and it's important to do, but I could do it better. I could do it deeper. I could do it with more connection. I'll give you an example, my friends. We light Shabbos candles, right? Women light Shabbos candles. So there's so many ways to light Shabbos candles. So let's say a person is blessed to have children and a family. Where are your children when you light Shabbos candles? Are they reading on the couch? Are they playing? Are they playing outside? Are they standing with you? Do your children watch you light Shabbos candles? Do your children watch you daven for them when you light Shabbos candles? Do you bench them after you light Shabbos candles? You just were involved in a mitzvah. You have such a koach. Do you use that koach appropriately? Let me share with you a maisa my daughter brought home, told over Friday night. Right before Rosh Chodesh Sivan. So we know there's a big inyan, got much more popular lately, to say the Shlach HaKadosh's Tefillah Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan, to have children who are successful in learning in Avodas Hashem. So I'm sure in Chutz Laaretz as well, in Eretz Yisrael, the schools give them out, right, magnets, place, in many different ways. So the fifth grade teacher was giving out the Tefillah Shlach HaKadosh to our fifth grade students. And this little girl says to her teacher, Lo toda, no thank you. Teacher says, you don't want the tefillah, the Shlach HaKadosh to give to your ima? She says, it's not necessary. Really, it's not necessary, yes? I know it by heart, and my Ema knows it by heart. So she looks at her like this fifth grade 10-year-old. Yeah, sure, you know it by heart? She says, yeah. Every Friday night, when my Ema benches licht, she says the Tfilat Hashlah out loud with me and all my brothers and sisters. We all know the Tfilat Hashlah out loud. Wow. We all light Shabbos candles, my friends. But where is our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Where is our davening for our children? Where is the emotional experience? Rabosai, this is a question we have to ask ourselves. V'achshav kirvanu makom lavadoso is the question of the night. The night of the Seder is the night of, as the Mesilas Bavavim points out in 51, the Balei Machshava Amuka explain that when we say matril bignut, the gnut is Adam Atzmo. Tonight, begin with looking at your defects, at your blemishes. Shizoi Hatchala, that's the beginning. If you don't realize there's a problem, you're not going to go far. Hatchalta digeulahi bakaraknuto v'shifluto. Tonight is the night of redemption. You want to redeem yourself? You want to grow tonight? Then you have to realize from where you have to grow. You have to be able to have an understanding of what needs to be changed. V'az yacholu litalo v'latzei v'lagia l'sayi b'shevach. And only then can you conclude with positivity. Where are we really standing honestly? What does Hashem want from us? And that's what the night is about. The night is about looking at my past. When I look at my family, my children, my grandchildren, I'm like that father who looks back to when he was a child, what it was like for him. When he looks back and when we look back, we're able to have that vision of where I was from, to be able to appreciate and thank Hashem where I am now. To look at where I was and from the darkness to appreciate the light. To be able to look at the challenges that I've gone through in my life and to realize how they've helped me reach where I am right now. And to most importantly, to be able to look at my life not only in the physical sense but in the spiritual sense and see what I'm still enslaved to see what I'm still a chomer to see what I'm still drawn after and I don't give my full attention, to see on the flip side where I'm doing well but I can do better. What needs to change both in the sur meira, what I'm an eved to, what I'm a slave to, and the asay tov, and my candle lighting, how I can do it better, or in both. And the night of the Seder is to take the Mayim Shelanu, that water, the water which represents Chomer and turn it into a Surah, to take that water in and to say, how can I break out of Mitzrayim, the Meitzar Yam, and look at the boundless potential that's within me and see how I'm doing myself a disservice by not developing it fully. I'm not taking the opportunities to their fullest abilities by being dragged along with what others are doing without thinking for myself. Tonight's a night of introspection. Tonight, when we get to that phrase, V'achshav kirvanu makom lavodaso, it's a night to daven at that place and say, Hashem, please help me come to be able to and fill in the blank where you want to come closer to Him. Again, it's something you're doing, something small, nothing major won't happen. But how can you make it better, closer? My friends, we end the Seder night and we'll end this year with Chag Gadyah. Chag Gadyah is one of the most powerful and deepest ones of the songs. Label Eger and Torah Samuel speaks about why we focus on the Gedi, on this animal, on the kid, the goat, of all the animals. And we know that the Jewish people are compared to a Tseh, right? Son Adam, Yecheskel. Why not the sheep? Why the goat? So the sheep, he notes, is something that follows. The sheep are the Chomer, right? Sheep to the slaughter. It's that passivity. A goat is a symbol of leaping. A goat is a symbol of moving forward. Tonight, my friends, we're not a sheep. Chag Gadyah is the call that has to resonate in our head the entire night. If you believe V'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you believe and you said it 13 times, Echadu Elokeinu Shemashamayim V'Aretz, you know without a doubt, Ein Od Milvado, it's only Hashem in heaven and earth and there's no other reality. And Hashem is going to come and create Seder in this entire world. Then Chagadja, Chagadja, where are we? And as Rav Pinkus notes, if we wake up the next morning and we're the same person we were the night before, we've missed the boat, my friends. The night of Seder is a night of change. It's not just a night of ceremony. It's a night of our own avoda. It's Kel Motziyam in Mitzrayim. The Rechaim HaKadosh says that Hotziyam, he took us out in the past, but Motziyam, right now, he's taking us out. Right now. Vashav. Right now, Kirvanu Makom Lavadaso, he's coming down and inspiring us with Gilui Shechina, with a tremendous amount of inspiration. Of he is medalek alahari mekabet alakvos. He's leaping and skipping over mountains the night of Pesach to be able to help us come closer to him. And our response has to be the response of Matzah. I'm running after you, Hashem. I realize that there's no other but you. And now that Mayim Shelanu in that matzah is begging me to make changes. It's screaming out to me, I want to come closer. I want to do things a bit differently. Whether it's adding a few more minutes in my lich benching, or it's stopping from fill in the blank, whatever it is, in whatever area, in the Asek Tov, the Sur Meira, whatever area, the night of Seder is a night of change. It's a night of growth. It's a night of Mitchila Ovde Avodasara Yuvaseinu. Yes, our ancestors were idol worshippers. But Hashem, come down and look. V'achshav kervanu makom l'avodaso. Hashem, I feel tonight how you're coming and awakening me. Shira Shiri, you're knocking on my door. Kumi Rayati. Rai Pitchi Liachoti Rayati. Open up for me. And we are going to heed that message. Chadgadja, chadgadja, and respond by leaping, by changing, by making that small difference and saying, Hashem, yes, indeed, I am responding. Tonight is a night where you took them out of Egypt, and tonight is a night that you have taken me as well out of Egypt. Wish everybody a chakoshe v'sameach. Kadosh Baruch Hu should answer our tefillos l'tova. We should all be matzliach and breaking out of the Meitzar Yam to be able to reach our fullest potential year after year, moving forward, leaping to our greatness.